Welcome to the Ancient Past Podcast. We are Shani and Wendy, two moms a quarter of a century apart. And we're just really glad you're here because I forgot the rest of that intro.
We're two moms a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition.
Preserving tradition.
For a modern generation.
For a modern generation.
We are totally off the outline today.
We are sitting in rocking chairs on the carport outside. Yeah, and it's really nice. And Shani brought us some tea. Brought me a tea.
I have a protein drink. Yeah,
sun, watermelon, strawberry. Anyway, it's good, and I need the immunity if that was in it.
I tried a couple of sips on the way. It's delicious.
It's so good. It's so good. It's been such a busy day. But every day I walk out here, there's more leaves on the trees, and it's just green, and it's really nice, and the roosters are crowing, and the chickens are clucking, and the birds are singing, and it's just, spring is wonderful where we live.
I really like this time of year where, at least where we are, it's warm enough to wear a tank top for parts of the day. But the nights are still cool and not humid yet. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a pleasant time of year.
I had shorts on yesterday.
Yeah. I'm ready. I have a gym tank top on right now, but I wore a tank top to pick strawberries this morning. Yeah. And that was nice.
Did you go pick strawberries?
We did. We drove over to Baker.
Acres and Bakers.
Well,
Bakers
it's in the same location. Of Acres, but it's called something different now, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was good.
You know, you're really close to Jonalyn's, to the Blossom Lane Farm, the flower farm. She's right around
in Baker.
The corner.
I did not know that.
She doesn't really have a whole lot blooming that's big, but I think she's going to make a maze where you go in a circle, like a centrifugal.
That'll be like a spiral.
Yes, but that words. Fibonacci. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. So,
that would be spiral. Fun. Yeah. Talk about the math behind that.
So, when you walk and you think about it, as you're walking through, that'd be fun.
That would be fun. I might have to take the kids back over there. I told them we didn't pick a ton today because I kind of just honestly wanted to get a visual for how many pounds we were picking and how much it was going to cost.
Oh, yeah. They charge you by the pound.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad. The berries were delicious, and we'll probably go back in a week or two and get some to put in the freezer.
Fun.
So
I remember those
days. We'll just eat these ones fresh. And then tomorrow for school, we have the strawberry unit study, so we'll do all the strawberry things tomorrow.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. You guys are so organized. I just love hearing about that. I miss those days of homeschooling. So we've already really talked about what we don't need the little tea time thing, I guess.
Yeah.
We talked about what we're drinking.
Yeah.
But I think we were going to kind of follow up with from last week when we were talking about how the endocrine disruptors and the endocrine system being your hormonal system, technically.
Yep.
In layman's terms. And then and how different things we use in our house can affect the endocrine system.
Yep.
So today we're talking about spring cleaning. Like a long time ago, people used to just clean everything. You want to tell the story? Did we talk about the Passover last
week?
Or just you and I talked about it?
Yeah, we just talked about it. I thought that was interesting.
I did too.
Looking into where did the tradition of spring cleaning come from? And I'm sure that there are different versions based on cultures. Everyone will claim it, but I thought this one was kind of neat. It really goes back to Passover, where the, I guess it would be the Levitical rules for removing all of the yeast from the house in preparation for Passover. And in order to do that, it was really cleaning out all of the things in the house and sweeping or wiping or whatever it was that they would do.
Sourdough woman that you are, the wild yeast that's in the air.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that they knew about that.
I know. I thought that was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. So there's a pretty cool tradition there, and there's something cyclical about observing a spring cleaning tradition.
Yeah, true.
In wherever it is, like if that's when you clean out your garage or you clean your windows or you reset for the year in preparation for the spring and summer. And I just thought that was kind of neat.
It is kind of neat. Yeah. Traditions are comforting.
Yes. Well, you can rely on them. It's something to count on in the busyness of life.
Right. When everything feels like it's chaotic and it's crazy and you don't know which way to go, you know the tradition is coming. You know, whether it's a birthday party or a special dinner or, you know, a holiday.
Even just getting up to go to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah. And the fest back then, they had lots of festivals. Yeah. So they just went from one festival to the next festival. Yeah. I think that's great. I take my cleaning and break it down into 12 parts. And then I break that down into two weeklies. And then I break that down into days. And I have what's called a focus area. So I hit the high spots, hit the main thing every 8 weeks, so it's not overwhelming.
Right.
But I do like, and especially when the kids were growing, I like to, the first nice day, you just fling open the windows, mm-hmm. you clean out the fireplace, you wash down the windows, you clean all the, you know, you've got spiders, everything's been closed all year, so mm-hmm. you've got spiders in the corner, especially if you live in the country. You know, you just clean everything out. It's just a good feeling that fresh air gets in there.
Yep.
And the house just smells different. It's just really nice.
Yeah.
When the pollen is happening, like right now, you're going to get a lot of pollen in there. Or if you're cutting grass while you're outside, you got to be careful. But
yeah,
for the most part, it's a really nice feeling to have a nice clean house like that.
Yeah.
So I like spring cleaning. Do you spring clean?
I am ashamed to say that I have never established a consistent habit, but I'm kind of in this new season, being in a new home where we are planning to be the rest of our lives to kind of start those, this is what we do this month, this is what we do,
right.
And just kind of start those kinds of traditions and help form those good habits for my kids too.
Well, and also when you're cleaning out your house like that, it's maintenance. It's about being a good steward of your home. So if you're vacuuming your couch, you know, really often, it's probably going to last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, if you're cleaning out your corners and your floors or whatever, everything's probably going to last a little bit longer because of just regular maintenance.
Yeah.
That's what I
will say that I have gotten a little bit more consistent with some of the basic household things that just got pushed aside in the mm-hmm. craziness of sports seasons last year.
Oh, it's just going to happen.
It is, but there I lacked the discipline of getting to the job that needed mm-hmm. to get done. And I just published a blog post about this the other day about creating margin in the busyness of life. Is it possible to create that margin? And some of what the last couple months for me have been is looking for areas to create more margin, but also, as Hannah said, when I went and talked to her, increasing my capacity by taking care of myself and nourishing myself. Mm-hmm. Look at that cardinal. We're outside again today, guys. Pretty, I love cardinals. I think there's one in the tree. But it might be a blue jay, but I can't tell.
I can see it because the leaves are starting to happen. That's why.
Yes.
Yeah,
we're going to get distracted. Oh, I think it's a cardinal.
It's a mama.
I think it is. Oh, looky there.
He's taking a bath. The dad's taking a bath in the puddle. We had some rain.
Nice.
Last few days ago, and it still hasn't drained right there. We have clay soil up here, right here. So he's taking a bath.
That's so
and the
mama's sweet.
In the tree. I know. And the cat is underneath the car.
You leave that cardinal alone.
That shadow, he's not going to get anything. Now, Bates, the black one, he thinks he's the cat patrol around
That's
here.
That's funny.
I know. They need to be rat patrols around here. There's Penny. She's asleep. There's a bird.
I keep trying to bring cats to my house. I'll keep trying. I kept saying I was going to wait until it wasn't so cold. And then, like, this time of year, try again. If anybody has free kittens, let me know.
Yeah, message Shani.
Yeah.
Everyone for your free kittens.
Yeah, before I got distracted by the birds.
We were talking about the spring cleaning.
Just creating space in our schedule. And right now, what that means for me is literally mapping out our schedule on my Apple Calendar.
Look at you. That's great.
And then I can move things around and literally have blank space in our day. And we have to do that because there's things that come up every day. Mm-hmm. I can't map out every minute because, you know, it might take longer to make breakfast than I anticipated. And then the rest of the day is thrown off. So, but then it also does go back to taking care of myself, making sure I'm getting enough calories, enough protein, enough vitamins and minerals,
sleep.
And enough sleep to be able to do all of the things yes. that I want to do and need to do.
It is. That's really important, is you got to take care of yourself. And you can break it down into sections. And that I don't remember where I got it from, but it was years ago. But I wanted to try to get it all done so it wouldn't be overwhelming for me. Yeah. I try to make things so they're not so overwhelming. And I feel like if you get ahead of the game, you can do a small amount in a short time. And then you're way ahead of everything. So if you're trying to set up a routine and you want to make sure you consistently, we're looking at the cats, it's them distracted now. If you want to make sure you consistently, let's just say, for instance, cleaning out the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you get that done once a week, once a month.
Before you go to the grocery store.
Before you go to the grocery store, right. And then set a time. What makes more sense? Before you go to the grocery store, clean out your refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't, if you do it periodically, it's not going to get that bad.
Right.
It really won't.
It's when you let it go.
And then you know that you're not going to buy more than what you need at the grocery store yes. because you see what you're wasting from the yeah. week before.
We're going to talk about that a lot food next waste, month. Yeah. About how to know what you have and to use what mm-hmm. you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's stewardship.
Yep.
It all yeah. boils down to stewardship. And you want to live in a house that is clean and healthy because we don't want anything yes. like the endocrine disruptors, but not just even endocrine disruptors. If you have small children, you don't want them picking things up off the ground that they could eat that might be dangerous for them. You want a fairly clean house. It doesn't yeah. have to be perfect. You don't want a museum, but you want a healthy, clean house.
Well, right. And when we say clean, we don't mean sterile.
No, oh no.
And that, I think that is, I think clean is almost like a define your terms moment. Do we have to define what clean means? Right. I think organized
being in able a way to that find works what for you your need, family. Right. Being able to find what you right. need when you
One
need
One of
it.
The things that I've gotten to this point, I keep hearing this over and over again, is, are you managing your things or are your things managing you?
I've heard that before.
And we have had some real come to Jesus moments lately about things managing us. And one of the things we have had to do is take all of the toys out of the kids' room. Mm-hmm. And we have put them in another bedroom that's not being used until we have the weekend to go through them where the kids are not at home, and it's coming. We just haven't had that opportunity yet. Because it was becoming too overwhelming to them to even clean up their room.
Oh yeah. That's
and
hard.
That we just needed a fresh start. We needed to start over completely with the toys, and it's been so freeing for them mm-hmm. because at night, when it's time to clean up the bedroom before they go to bed, the thing that they do have left in there is some books, and then their clothes are in the closet. They have a few stuffies. We downsized a lot on the stuffed animals. We had way too many. And then they have a couple of things in the living room to play with, like Lincoln Logs and mm-hmm. magnet tiles. But right now, it's so easy to pick up and go to bed.
Yeah.
We've gotten back to the point where we can enjoy reading a book together at bedtime right. because we're not yelling, clean up your room, clean up your stuff.
Right.
And so it's creating a lot more peace. And I didn't know that it was going to create all of those things, but I mean, I was hoping it would. I didn't realize that it would be so effective so quickly.
Yeah.
Because that happened on, maybe it was last Wednesday. I don't remember what day it was. It hasn't been very long. But then Saturday night, because they have no toys to play mm-hmm. with inside, they went out and played outside and made up some game with rocks. And Hattie took a rock to the face. So she came dear. In with this gash under her eye, blood everywhere.
Wishing you'd put the toys back now?
No. She'll survive. No, but I was like, well, I guess that's what happens when you tell them to use their imagination.
Yeah, use your imagination.
Yeah. But I mean, it hasn't been bad for them. They've been playing kickball every day right. outside. They've been going outside to play because they have nothing like drawing them back into their
that's
cave.
Fabulous, actually.
And so we are going to go through the toys. We're going to get rid of a lot of them. we have been very particular about what toys we buy for our kids, but then they, you know, they get gifts mm-hmm. and all of that. So we're going to try to pare down and have like the big things like the Lincoln Logs and Magnet Tiles and Hot Wheels, because they have a fun mm-hmm. Hot Wheel track that they can like check out and then put, they have to put yeah. it back. Like they don't, it doesn't get to stay out.
Right.
Like the big toys, and then we're going to bag up the Legos, and they will be allowed to buy back their Legos and buy back certain toys, because we want to teach them to value and to be good stewards mm-hmm. of their possessions, and they were not. And we can't teach that unless we make it real for mm-hmm. them. So, and they're only going to be allowed to keep what they have room to store. And then, and we told them in all of this that we are also trying to do that in with adults. The things that we're responsible for in the home. And it's hard. It's hard to get rid of things when you don't want to be wasteful and you're like, oh, I know I'm going to need it as soon as I get rid of it.
You know how much you paid for that.
And you know mm-hmm. how much you paid for it. But I think that, I think we have houses that are so filled with things that yeah. we have become enslaved to.
I agree.
A lot of times, not everything. I'm not saying having stuff is bad.
No.
I am not a minimalist.
Because we are not minimalists.
I am 100%.
I've got the cottage core vibe going on, so I am totally trendy
right
now.
I love coming to your house. It's so homey and cozy.
It's like a Hobbit house.
I love it. But every but that's not cluttered in a way like a hoarder's house is.
Oh, I know. I know.
But like, that's what I want for my house, is for it to be, I don't mind if there's a lot of things, mm-hmm. but as long as those things are serving a purpose.
And they have a home.
And they have a home.
Everything and needs a home.
Even though we've been in our house for over a year at this point, we, at least Kyle acknowledged, we are still settling.
Yeah.
We kind of settle in that Fibonacci sequence. Yeah. Yeah. Type way. I move furniture around. I'm one of those people that instead of buying something new, I will move.
That's a really good thing.
And it's helpful. One of the boys asked me, why are you always moving the furniture? I said, because it keeps me from buying something new.
You should just say something like, it keeps you on your toes, right? Yeah. It keeps you, you don't know, in the middle of the night, where are you going to walk?
Yeah, that's right. You might run into something you when you wake up.
Something.
But, you know, we have to make it fresh and make sure. the things in our home serve us. Mm-hmm. And, for me this year, that has been a big part in leading up to the spring cleaning mm-hmm. is getting things, some more things settled where I need them, mm-hmm. need them to be. Like we moved all of the school bookshelves that were close to our front door into the office where all of the other school stuff is, so that it's not in two separate places.
That's a good idea. Categorize.
We moved it all in there.
That's a good thing to do when you're spring cleaning is yeah. to categorize things. Put things where they make logical sense. If you yep. are, you know, I don't know, if you're baking, you have a baking section where all your yes. baking stuff goes in yeah. your kitchen, or in your bathroom. Put cleaning supplies in your bathroom.
I've started doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so you don't have to carry them everywhere. You know, have things where they're supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't tint that, you know, don't double handle things, and you don't want 10,000 steps just to get to one place.
Right.
Put them where you think they'll most logically be used.
That's one of the under the sink cabinets in the bathrooms and in the kitchen are something that I'm going to have to tackle soon.
I'm sure there's lots of YouTube videos you can get inspiration from.
Yes. And I have had the beautiful Pinterest Perfect mm-hmm. under the sink cabinet organization before, and it was great. But I kind of don't mind if it doesn't look super beautiful. I just need it to be functional.
It just needs to be functional and yeah. organized.
I just need to not mm-hmm. have stuff thrown in there. I need some baskets mm-hmm. or something. I am getting all new kitchen towels and wash rags next month.
Awesome.
I have a lot of older Norwex ones, and I just don't have the energy to strip them and make mm-hmm. them
right
nice and new again. I really wish they had a service for that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be nice if Norwex opened up a branch where you could like
just mail them back,
mail them in, and they could strip them and clean them and make them all new for you. I would pay for it for sure. Nice. But you know, just getting it will be nice. It will be more organized because I will have fewer of them.
Yeah.
Instead of having ones.
If you're not using them, it's not worth keeping them. Yeah. Yep. It's not worth it keeping them. You know, I mean, people who have sock drawers that have thousands of socks. Well, you know, you might need seven pairs if you wear one every day, right? Seven is good.
Yes.
I like the idea of a 10-item wardrobe. I've tried to do it.
I can't.
But I need 10, like I need 10 items of athletic wear, 10 items of work wear. In Florida, for sure.
Yes.
10 items of, you know, church wear, 10 items of going to town wear.
Especially in the summertime, we change
three times a day. Right. Yeah.
Because if you go outside to work in the garden, there's no way you're wearing that all day long.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no way. You know, I mean, you go outside, you get up and you go outside and you work and then you come inside and you get cleaned up again. And then you have clean clothes to put on then, and then you go back out and work, and then you go to town.
Yeah.
So that's definitely three times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
We did also downsize the kids' clothes when we removed the toys because we had to put Hattie's staying in the boys' room right now. They all sleep in the same room because she doesn't want to be by herself. And so we went ahead and moved her clothes in there so that we could lock the other bedroom so they can't go in and get anything.
Get in there to the toys.
But it's great. They have their dirty clothes baskets right there, and they each the boys have a laundry day. Hattie has a laundry day. Kyle and I have one, and then I have like sheets, towels, and like any of the extra stuff.
Right.
And so we're trying to bring some of those systems back that we let go because of the craziness of football season, and then it was the holidays, and it's like, okay, we can't keep having an excuse to not have order and chaos. So it's kind of, I don't know. I'm one of those people that likes to start things on a Monday or the beginning of the month. And I know spring is not really the beginning of the year, but it is a resetting.
It is.
So it made me think of spring cleaning.
Yeah, spring is resetting. And it's nice when everything is kind of organized and in its place. And you've gotten rid of the things that you don't need. I think that's pretty collective.
Yeah.
Most everybody does that.
Yeah.
You know, different things you can do for spring cleaning. A lot of people do, you know, they'll freshen up their porches. They'll pressure wash their concrete or decking or something like that. Put a wreath on the door, get new mats, you know, for when you're going inside.
I need a new mat so bad.
Yeah.
You can't even see the picture on mine anymore.
Oh,
it was just a Walmart one.
It's the one with the
sunflower truck.
Yeah, I have that one.
It's just a big black blob now.
Yeah. And so I don't get to decorate that much. So I like to rotate those things out.
Yeah. I want some of these. I'm going to post a picture of these
couple cuttings if
beautiful
you want.
Flowers.
So she's sitting underneath some petunias.
I'll
that
post
are hanging
it on our Instagram.
They're pink. It's a fuchsia and a wave pink and then the purple wave.
Raylan really wants us to have hanging flower baskets by the doors.
That's
so I think
good
I'm,
idea.
You know, our stoops, we don't have porches. We just have like the little stoops. So but we have these support
posts.
And so I figured we could do the little support arm going out.
Oh, yeah. I have those at the barn.
Yeah. And like we could do them. Yeah. We could do them going out. So it'll almost maybe visually make the porch look a little bit bigger.
That's a good idea.
And get some hanging baskets.
That's
I just
a
need
spring
to go do
cleaning
it.
Thing that I do, too, is I dump all of my old baskets and things in the compost. And then I start afresh, usually. With a new
this
coconut,
is,
new
I
baskets.
Think, the year for me where the landscaping is finally going to happen.
Oh, that's a blessing.
I am going to get somebody to help me get a trailer, go get some cotton trash.
Good.
And use that for around the house. I don't want to use it in the garden, like for edible things.
Right.
But I'll use it for
it's a good
plants
idea. Yeah,
that
flowers.
We're not eating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I want to be able to do that this year. Like it's time because I want to be able to have the perennial things that I know.
And you
once
like
I invest
pretty.
In it, they'll come back, and I want it to be pretty.
Yeah, so. we like the pretty. I mean, if you're going to be at home, make it something that you enjoy, that you love. You know, that you like to sit around and look at, and it's clean to you to your level of cleanliness.
Right.
That means spring cleaning is important in that aspect. Other things you can do is a lot of people change their batteries on their fire alarms during the spring and the fall or the Christmas.
We just wait until ours goes off in the middle of the night and then we have to change
Mine have done that too. And you know, they have the Used to. Mattresses are way different now, but we used to spin our mattress in the spring. Yes. And flip it in the fall. And I still spin mine in the spring. It doesn't have a bottom anymore. You know, it has the pillow top.
Yeah, we have the pillow top. Mm-hmm. We really need a new mattress, but that's one of those things that we'll get pushed until we really, really need one.
You can clean behind there. There's lots of dust hallways and underneath the bed. And clean your drawers out. Put some nice shelf liner in there and go through your clothes. Go through your clothes. If, I mean, how many t-shirts do you really need?
Do you keep all of your clothes in your closet all year long? Or do you have like storage for your winter stuff when you're not using it?
So I was talking earlier about the 10 item wardrobe.
Yeah.
And there's a girl that I follow, the Daily Connoisseur on YouTube.
Jennifer
Scott. Yeah. Yeah. So she has the 10 item wardrobe, which she's in California. So it's pretty temperate there all the time. And so I do the same thing. I just have the active wear, the farm wear, the church wear, and then the go to town wear. So I have like 40 items, but they're all mix and match. But I have these, they're canvas and they have a lid that comes down and Velcros. So if it's quite winter stuff, like I'm getting pretty soon, the sweaters, the long hoodies, all that will go in those. And then the summer stuff will come out.
Yeah.
So there's, I'm taking it two seasons. So instead of doing the four like she does, I just do two and two when it's warm.
Well,
because
we don't have
not.
Four seasons.
No, we don't. But it also makes me think, do I really like this? A lot of times when my kids were growing up, I didn't do the self-care thing. If it was cheap and on sale and it fit, I bought it.
Yes.
But I didn't necessarily feel good in it.
Yes.
And if you really take the time to think, do I feel good in this? Does it make me look, is it flatter me or, you know, make me look like a, you know, like a tent or, you know, or is it something that I like, I enjoy being in?
Yeah.
Because your mood is important. And so trying to find those things that I would rather wait until I can pay full price for something that I'm going to wear for years.
And it's an investment.
It's an investment.
Mm-hmm. This is a little bit off topic, but if that resonated with me a lot, like the cheap, buying something cheap because it was on sale.
Mm-hmm. 50 cents at the economy shop, right?
It fit me, right? But I don't end up actually reaching for it because it doesn't make me feel good.
Right.
That is something I hope, as my daughter grows, I can teach her how to wear clothes that make her feel the best that she can feel.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of just wearing it because
it's utilitarian.
I tell her, or because it works or whatever. Right. But one thing that's helped me break out of that is finding people on Instagram who have similar body types and sizes
to
me.
Idea. Mm-hmm.
And there are so many of them out there. And they love to buy clothes and show you what they look like.
Yeah.
And I have found a few that...
The hauls. Is that what they're called? Hauls.
Yes. Well, like shopping hall.
Shopping hall, yeah.
Yeah.
I love
and
those.
A lot of them will do like Amazon ones. So you can go and look at the link.
Oh.
And they earn like, you know, it's an affiliate link. They earn a slight commission for sharing it. But I think that is so helpful. And I have found a lot of really fun dresses and shirts and pants that I would not have tried had I just seen the picture on Amazon.
Right.
But because I saw it on a real person.
And she put it on.
And she put it on and I was willing to try it. And some of them I send back, but some of them are ones that I reach for all the time. I got one at from Walmart recently that's like, it's a linen blend, so it's not real linen, but it looks like linen, and it's just this beautiful simple midi length dress. Like if I could take this,
I probably need that link,
and
I love
find
linen.
the pattern for it, I would make 100 of them, but I don't need 100.
Right.
It's fine to have it in that one color and find different ways to style it so that it does look like it's 100 different dresses.
Right,
maybe not 100, but you know, five.
I have you know, most of my wardrobe is linen.
Yeah.
Because the older I've gotten, I've realized they last forever.
Yep.
They always look classic and they are inexpensive and they're cool in Florida. They're really cool and they can be warm. I mean, you can layer them.
Yes.
So I really like the linen.
I want to shift towards that, but I'm kind of in that weird, I don't have the budget for it. but I want to have the budget for it. So it's like, if I can find a piece that I can start to get used to that kind of style, then I'm going to start finding those. And they're a little bit more economical.
I get mine on ThredUp. I used to do ThredUp when I was your age.
And Posh.
And Posh, yeah.
Poshmark. Is that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. ThredUp, they send you a bag.
Yeah.
And you load up with everything. And then you put it in the bag, and then they give you credit. And then you can buy according to that. So most of my linen is like J. Jill or Land's End. And I pay no more than $10 a piece.
Yeah.
And I just buy it, and I take care of it, and I iron it, and I get things organized.
Yeah.
So spring cleaning out your closet is a great time to do that.
Yeah.
And get your mindset right. Spring cleaning is a great time to get your finances right. Go through your finances, get your budget, find out where there's holes. Just kind of tweak everything. It's a new, fresh start. Everything's getting fresh and outside. So get everything in your house fresh. Like, a lot of people will go through all their cabinets in their kitchen and take everything out and vacuum them and clean them all.
I need to do that.
Get rid of pots and pans and put them back, you know, the way that they like them.
Such a project.
It is a project. It is a project. But if you do it on the regular.
Yeah.
You know, break down your kitchen, you know, say 1 week out of 8 is a kitchen week, and 15 minutes, you know, break it down. You're going to do 15 minutes under cabinet A, cabinet B the next day, cabinet, you know, and just.
Well, I like your idea of dividing your home into the 12 areas.
Yeah.
And then you have one major area a month that you do that big project in. So you don't have to do all the projects in 1 week in the spring.
Break it down and do 5 days a week.
Because then it'll be just exhausting getting your house all reset. But to be consistent and in that yearly routine and rhythm
makes it so much easier.
You know, one of the things that I had committed to doing in January that never got done was the medicine cabinet. And it's because it's just easy to forget about
it. But it's spring now.
It's spring.
And we're spring cleaning.
And we are. And it needs to get done. It really does. Because we praise the Lord, we have not been sick through the winter. We made it through, I mean, not by luck or chance. We've done a lot of work to build our immune systems and support ourselves. But Hattie had strep last week, which I still have no idea where she got it from. It was so random.
Could have been anywhere.
I know. But like, I couldn't find the thermometer to check her fever because it didn't get put back where it was. And none of the baskets that I had organized are still organized. So I had to dig through to find the Motrin because it was like, there's not one designated spot for it. So I need that. And we've started incorporating a lot of, like naturopathic things. And even those need to be just easy to reach for.
So it's
just
going to
take
weeding.
Uninterrupted time.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit hard to find with four
kids. I liken
kids.
It to weeding. And so here on the farm, we weed section A on Monday, whether it needs it or not.
Yeah.
We weed section B on Tuesday, whether it needs it. If you don't think it needs it, it needs it.
Yeah.
That soil has to be disturbed at once a week. And so the way I look at it is that I'm going to clean out the linen closet every third Thursday or whatever is on my list, even when it doesn't need it.
Yeah.
And I have it under control. I'm going to do it anyway. It'll take 5 minutes.
Right. Well, and then it's not an hour and a half or three hour job.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I need to get to. But you just have to start somewhere.
You have to start.
You got to start the routine somewhere. And that is, I have more time to do that since I've created some blank space on the schedule.
I used to make fun of people, actually. I mean, I say make fun. I thought it was just so regimented. People who had days for things.
Yes.
But I quickly learned after I had a child
that
I needed to do that. So Monday was usually I would go grocery shopping that day because I cleaned the kitchen in that morning. Tuesday was my kind of my rest day, but I've switched it now. So Monday is what I spend 1 hour just running through the house, straightening everything up from the weekend.
Yeah.
And then I listen to some music on audiobook or whatever. And then on Tuesday, I call it my flora and fauna day. That's the day I take care of my plants that are close to the house, not the farm business.
Yeah.
My actual plants that I own that are close to the house, like my hanging baskets or the house plants that are in there. And so I take care of those things that I need to take care of.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesdays, my paperwork day, it's still my paperwork day. I work all day on finances or blog, website, any kind of paperwork that I need to take care of. What, you know, if I need to register the car or whatever. And then on Thursdays, Thursdays or Fridays are my errand day, one or the other.
Yeah.
So, usually it's Friday, but it used to be Thursday. Then I could rest on Friday because Friday I do payroll and things like
right.
that. And get the house finances done. So if I can have one day that's an errand day, and then I do the laundry every single day, and I do the sheets on Saturday because there's an S in Saturday. So you should do the sheets on Saturday. And then it gets into a habit.
Yeah.
Everybody knows sheets are on Saturday. Everybody knows the towels are on Monday. I mean, you just kind of get in that routine, and it just all starts getting done, and you're just taking a bite out of an elephant one bite at a time.
Right. That's kind of where we're trying to solidify some of those. Mm-hmm. Like, we've played around with a lot of what is our routine going to be.
Women a long time ago used to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they used to.
They were a lot less busy back then.
True.
And they didn't
have rec ball.
Right. Rec ball. I do love that my kids are playing rec ball. They're getting a lot out of it. But it takes a lot out of me sometimes.
It does, yeah.
And I do think I went into this season a little bit more guarded in a good way. I knew that I was going to have to be more intentional with some time.
Yeah.
We also just had a better practice time. It didn't cut so much into the late afternoon. We have a later practice time most days. And yeah, I'm just being a little more intentional about getting up earlier.
Yeah.
So that I can get a few things done. And the kids are older and they're capable of helping with a lot of things that even a year ago they weren't. Like, my boys are learning to load the dishwasher now, not just unload. And unloading and putting away I think is easier of the two jobs, but learning how to load it efficiently and, you know, make sure that dishes are rinsed off. And then I still do the hand wash dishes. I don't mind that, but then just being consistent with it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is your job. You need to go do it.
Right.
Where
are you supposed to be?
Yes.
That's what I used to say.
Yes.
Where are you supposed
to
be right now?
One of the things we didn't talk about at the beginning was, what are we reading? Are you reading anything different right now?
I'm trying to think if there's... Oh, yeah. I've got a Miss Julia book. I love Miss Julia books. That's just a fiction book.
Yeah.
She's hilarious. Yeah.
I've been reading Dorinda Wilson's newest book that just came out last week, Raising Boys to Men. And it's all about basically how and why God designed boys different from us as moms, and how we need to learn how to communicate with them, discipline them, teach them in a way that they understand, not the way that we wish they would understand.
Right.
And if you haven't read the book, I would recommend it. If you have boys at all in your life, because it's been really good.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones that she's got questions at the end of the chapter. So they're really kind of introspective. Like, some of them are tough questions. Like, and I'm doing my best to actually write out an answer to really acknowledge
that you know,
this is an issue or this is not an issue. Or, I mean, I have one out of my three boys is definitely there's something different about him. He's just, I don't know what people would call it. Maybe all boy. He's all boy. All of my boys are all boy. But, you know, he definitely is more strong-willed and has more of a desire to push back against me. But I appreciate this book as a resource to learn how to not break him.
Yeah.
You know, God designed him to be a worker and a provider and somebody who stands up for things.
Right.
And God didn't really design me to be that way. Mm-hmm. You know, he designed me as a woman to be a nurturer and somebody who can acquire wisdom, hopefully, and be able to share that wisdom. And so it's been interesting reading that and learning how I was expecting not too much of my boys, but I wasn't explaining my expectations in a way that they understood. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm trying to change the way I'm communicating with them, it's not as difficult to get them to do the jobs.
No.
And they take ownership of it. And they take, hopefully, most of the time, they take pride in the ownership of their job. And that's fulfilling to them. And it's teaching what I want them to learn in doing those jobs.
Yeah.
That's why we don't call them chores. We want their
responsibilities.
Right. We want them to know that, you know, in the real world, you do a job and you're compensated for it. And, you know, some of their compensation is just food and housing.
It is, right. And they don't understand that sometimes. But, yeah, we had a similar book from Dr. Dobson called Bringing Up Boys.
I have that one,
and
too.
And we also had Strong-Willed Child.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've heard of that one.
That one, he did the same one. Yeah, he was excellent. He had really good. He was on Focus on the Family a lot.
So Dorenda's is... It is from a parenting perspective, but it also has that subcategory of homeschooling mom.
That's really interesting,
which I appreciate because it is hard.
It is hard.
They don't want to sit still.
No, they don't.
Like I could sit still and learn. I mean, some of my kids will sit still.
There's a Bible study called Wild at Heart. Mm-hmm. And, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the guy. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute. But he, John Eldridge, that's who it is. Okay. Ransom Heart Ministries. And he had a book in the Wild at Heart book, he talked about boys and he said, just let them stand up at dinner, move the table, move the chair away from the table and just let them stand up.
I mean, what'd you say his name is?
John Eldridge. Okay. It's a Ransomed Heart Ministries, but the book is called Wild at Heart. We did a Sunday school lesson, a Sunday school, Bible study on it. As a matter of fact, it's really good. But he says, just let them stand up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just what's the point? And then he also talks about boys, especially 12, 13, 14, they start trying to separate from their mom because they know they're not a woman. They know they're not their mom. And so they start looking toward their dad. So you can see them pushing back at that age. Yours are kind of young. Your kids are kind of, there it is. Yep.
Bottom. Yeah. Line.
She's looking at Amazon while we're.
There's a Kindle book and paperback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know where I heard it first, but I did hear something about that. By like the age of five, if a boy does not have a solid male figure in his life, he is going to have an uphill battle.
He doesn't know who he is.
Understanding. No sense of self, understanding how to be a man. And it's not that God can't redeem that and all of that, but there's something in us that you see it even from the time that our kids are toddlers, even babies, they're mimicking what they see.
Right.
And if they don't have that example set for them, then it just makes it that much harder. And it's not that character can't be taught, but there's only so much, like I can talk to them about things, but until they see it lived out, it's just words.
Right.
And actions speak louder than words.
They do.
That's why God designed a family to have both a mom and a dad.
Right.
Boys need their dad.
They do. And there's a phrase that we studied long ago. I don't remember who said it, but they would say more is caught than taught.
Yes.
Yeah, more is caught than taught. And just from a cognitive development standpoint, children do have, there are stages of development.
Yeah.
You know, and they do different things collectively at the same time. You know, there's a different range of age. You know, if they're not speaking by a certain age, there's something off. If they're not walking by a certain age. I mean, there are different things that you do know that are pretty much the same for every child as they're growing, unless there's something wrong. And then if there's something off, that's when you try to figure out what's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that relates to spring cleaning.
I don't know. We just got off.
But that was a good one.
Giving responsibilities and jobs to boys.
Responsibilities and jobs to boys when they're spring cleaning. Let the kids help. That's what we're talking
understanding
about.
Understanding how to communicate that to them.
Let everybody help with the spring cleaning. Yeah. It's so much fun and it's such a good idea. And we talked about the cleaning supplies last time. I mean, now you guys, there's so many cleaning supplies. It's no more rags and soap. There's Swiffers and there's dusters and there's throwaway ones. And then there's ones that are telescoping.
And with a wash rag and soap and water.
Absolutely. And it can be done.
Yeah.
And I
kind of want to go buy some Ivory soap, to be honest.
Well, you know, and even other places like other cultures and even other religions, the cleaning is cleansing, if that makes sense. So you, as you're cleaning, it's quiet. It's you've got the time to think. It's you know, you're, it's not necessarily about it getting it clean. It's about doing the job.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something to that. There's really something to that.
I think if I could ask a question to someone who is a quarter of a century older.
Oh, that's me.
A lot more wisdom.
Me, I'm raising my hand.
What would be a practical way to involve your kids in this spring cleaning, whether we're talking about the house or the garden or, I guess, like more specific jobs in the house? How would you involve them and it not be in a stressful way? Like, you know how sometimes it's just easier to do it myself.
No.
But you're not teaching your child if you have that attitude. And maybe some of it is a heart change. But, like, what's a practical way? I'm putting you on the spot here.
So that's okay. There's a couple of things. Number one, the job needs to correlate to the age or the capability of the child.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you're not giving them something that's too hard. A three-year-old can fold a washcloth. Mm-hmm. Does it need to be perfectly 90-degree angles? No.
You mean we need to let go of our desire for things to be perfect?
Right. If you make a place for it low enough where they can put it up, they are now the washcloth folder. Three-year-olds can do it. Three-year-olds can separate spoons and forks and knives. So, no, they probably can't get them out of the dishwasher and set them on the counter. But you can bring the whole the spoon, the utensil caddy, and you can give them a little stool and you can open the door and you can set it up where they can reach it and they can separate it out. Absolutely, they can do that. You don't want to just put them in a position of frustration. You never want to exasperate your children because they'll never try to do anything. They want to please you. And for spring cleaning, I would make it a game. I would make it, and so you definitely have a reward. You want the intrinsic reward to be, we're done and this is great, but also have something special you do as a family because it's done.
Let's go to Raybo's and get some ice cream.
Oh, I went to Raybo's the other night. It was really good. Anyway,
you had the brown butter bourbon ice cream?
I
did
not. I was so full because we went to Vallarta, so I did not get the ice cream, but I did taste the banana split because I think somebody had one of those, and then I had, maybe it was the blueberry. I don't remember. It was so good.
I love going there.
But ice cream is good. You know, or a board game with your family is good. Yeah. Or, you know, an hour you get a whole hour to do what do you want. Let them choose.
Yeah.
You can make tickets. You can put little fun things in an envelope, and every hour everybody opens up an envelope or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, be creative. Think of what works for your family, but I would make it to where they would look forward to that tradition all the time.
Yeah.
Because you're making it fun. And a little one can take soap and water and they can scrub the window and they can spray it down, make sure that they have clothes on that can get wet.
Yeah.
You know, let it make it fun. Think the things that you think that they might not be able to do. I bet you they can.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I bet you they can.
Well, I mean, they just have to be taught.
They can
just
take the sheets off of a bed.
Yes.
You know, they can. And look at the Montessori tools.
Someone could teach them how to put them back on the bed.
Right. That's the worst hard part. That's really hard for me.
I hate making the bed.
Aww. But the Montessori tools, they have them their size and they are real tools. I mean, they can do those things. They can sweep off a front porch.
Yeah.
You know, they can clean out a bathtub with soap and water.
Yeah.
They can do those things.
Yeah. One of the things when we took the toys away, one of my boys was saying something about, you know, the wailing and gnashing of teeth of how we're never going to have anything to do and be so bored. I was like, well, maybe you'll have time to come and cook with me like you want to.
Right.
And actually be in the kitchen with me while I'm preparing something instead of you having to go clean up your room while I'm quickly throwing dinner together in the midst of fussing at you for not doing what you were told to do because it's too hard. You know,
can wash rice.
Yeah.
They can cut, if you get them the knives with the serrations on they can cut bread. They can cut them into squares and make croutons. Yeah. You know,
Hattie cut strawberries with me the other day. My 3-year old, she's almost 4.
They can.
She said, "You cut the tops. I cut them in half." You know, in her, she doesn't speak that clearly, but she did great. So I had to set the camera up and video it because it was just so sweet. Like those, I want every day to be that way.
Every day to be that way. Right,
but it can't be unless we have the other things picked up.
Right.
And we're not enslaved to our home.
Exactly.
Which is what spring cleaning should be about.
Is getting yourself set up for
success. And, you know, I mean, we didn't talk about strategies in this podcast because YouTube, Pinterest, there's a gazillion. You have to figure
out. We just want to inspire you to go do it.
Yeah. You have to figure out what works for you because we figured out what works for us.
Yeah.
But basically, what you're doing is making sure you get everything, especially if you're allergic to dust like I am, get the stuff out of your house so the air is cleaner, you can breathe better, and try to not bring more chemicals back in.
Yeah.
You know, try to be real cautious and careful about it, but just clean it. Just get it clean so you'll take pride in it. You're being a good steward of what you've been given. You'll like it. When you walk in and it looks clean and neat, you'll like to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about something that I just got clean the other day.
What'd you just
white baseball pants.
White baseball pants. I know how to do that. Bluing.
Bluing. I did think about you.
Do you need some iron
now? I might, because they just learned how to slide last night at practice. Yeah. We have not been sliding yet. I just used washing soda and some Dawn dish soap and some elbow grease. It was great, but I forgot the fact that washing soda was abrasive, and so I hurt my hands.
And then put ivory on the knees. I didn't have any.
But it worked. I scrubbed them and let them sit for a little bit, and I found some cleaning gloves and put those on so that I didn't burn my hands anymore.
Toothbrush.
And washed them, and they did great.
I can't tell you how many white pairs of baseball pants I've cleaned over the years.
I wasn't very happy about it, but I was very proud of how white they are again after I cleaned them. It was very gratifying. Mm-hmm. I did really wish that I had that basin and washboard and wringer out front, though.
That's true. That's why I have the bluing.
Think I might ask for that for Mother's Day or something.
A lot of people use it as like coolers with Cokes and stuff.
I know it sounds so silly, but I just think it would be nice. Like, I want the option of the modern washer, but there's some things that you just need to be able to scrub.
Right.
Why not just do it?
That's true. Okay, so we just say, okay, thank you for joining us. We're really glad that you talked to us about spring cleaning. We hope you have a good week and get inspired to clean your own house. Let us know in the comments what you did. If you have any tips or tricks for next time, just let us know.
We'll see you next time.